Hello, we're on the air. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook. And tonight I have a wonderful guest host, Carmen Clemens. Hello, Carmen.
Hey, Kathy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Carmen's my cousin, and I brought her on the air because of several reasons. First, I would like to start off with the prayer that we had for your aunt and your mother, and how you, well, you go ahead.
First, thank you to everyone who put my mother, Brenda, and my Aunt Marie on your prayer list. If God really put his hand, you could see every day the power of the prayers that were put on them. You could see the prayer put on the doctor's hand. You could see the prayer put on their bodies as they go through their trauma. My mom had a quadruple bypass, completely unexpected. She was hula hooping and doing the twist as I was teaching school.
Oh, man.
Helping me with the kindergartens because hula hooping is kind of tough for them. So she was actually hula hooping for a whole hour that same
Isn't
day.
That something?
So we had no idea what was going on inside her body, but God spoke and let us hear and laid his hands upon it 100 times over. My mother had no insurance, none, not a drop. My mother has no bills. Now, that's not a miracle. I mean, that is a miracle. First of all, that the first time we went in there, I had a funny feeling. The doctor just, this was not the kind of doctor, and I don't believe he was a Christian, to be honest. And I was like, okay, I'm getting a new doctor. And then my friend, Martha, her former husband, was a cardiologist. And I said, Martha, please, I know I need him. And she goes, come on, we hadn't talked in over 15 years. And she goes, but I'll do this for you and your mom. And he came, he took over, his hands oversaw every single detail. He went and talked to her and put her heart at ease so it can mend. And he taught us what to do. I mean, I just cannot thank everybody enough. And she's fine, and I'm getting ready to go on Facebook because my mother spent New Year's Eve with us, Kathy, and my mom actually did the cha-cha slide with me.
Oh, my gosh.
So she went from on her deathbed, they gave her a day, they gave her days to a week to live, to doing the cha-cha slide.
Isn't that something
else?
Oh, my gosh. I just love her. Well, I did contact the radio station, BBS, www.bbsradio.com, and special prayers went out from the station. I got letters back, and especially for your aunt as well.
Can I talk a little bit about my aunt?
Yes, you can talk as much as you want to about anything.
Well, for everybody who prayed, I want to tell you about this miracle. My aunt had not been feeling well. For some time, we knew something really wasn't right. But once again, no insurance. And as a society, that's the problem. I hope our government will help out with, because, you know, we're bailing out these companies, bailing out these people who are sick, who need God. They need nurturing and need help, but that's a whole different thing. But so she waited till the very last minute. And when they took her into the emergency room that week, they did an MRI. They found a level 4 tumor the size of a baseball.
A stage 4 or a level 4?
Level 4.
Okay.
I'm sorry, phase 4. You're right, phase 4.
Okay, stage 4.
Stage 4. I'm not, it just happened so fast, I probably might not have the right lingo. There was a stage 4 tumor the size of a baseball, and they said, okay, we see something here, but the emergency room says, you know, we took care of the headache, took care of this for me, let you go see a doctor the next day. Well, they saw the doctor the next day, and he goes, it is a tumor. I'm sending you to a surgeon. And that was on Friday, so we had to wait till Monday for her to see the surgeon. Can you imagine what all we were
doing? I remember getting that email.
I mean,
but the drastic emergency. And, again, BBS Radio comes back with prayers are out there.
And every prayer was felt, because as people were praying, God's miracle was working inside her. The surgeon says, yes, this is level 4. Once again, my aunt had no insurance. So they sent her over to Duke Hospital, and they said, you know what? We're going to let this be a part of the Duke Research Project. And they had a total of 5 surgeons in there with her.
Oh,
and the surgeons wrote off their bill. The hospital part she still has to have, but the surgery the surgeons wrote off their part as research. They had five surgeons in there that were learning about cancer, and because this was such an advanced stage. And they said even with the surgery, they gave her 6 months to 12 months to live. Without the surgery, a matter of days, maybe a week. That's how severe of a level this was. She couldn't talk. She couldn't move her legs anymore. I mean, it was to a severe point. So
we prayed so much.
Well, they offered to do the surgery. That was Monday. They did it on Friday. And my aunt was always at peace. She goes, I'm not worried. And, of course, my mom was all broken up. But I got there. I said, Mom, you know, God's hands are on this, no matter what the outcome is. But I don't believe this is her time or her place. I know it's not. And every prayer that BBS radio and family and friends, and I know people in Israel and who all this has touched that have reached out for my family, thank you so much. But when they went in to do the surgery,
well, do you want to? Yeah.
But it had already changed from a baseball to a softball size in 4 days. In 4 days. But believe it or not, that was God. God had worked on that. That tumor, it had become encased with a hard coating, so it would not spread anymore. It was a casing that was growing over the tumor.
Oh, wow.
And when
what a miracle.
I mean, tell me, is that not a miracle? And then they all took it out, and they put it up there, and they dissected it open, and guess what? It wasn't a tumor. It was a tumor, but it was not cancerous. It was fat.
Isn't that amazing?
So they
how the cancer turned from all that to a fatty tumor.
And it's very unusual for a fatty tumor to be on a brain. And it had actually gone inside the brain, not just on the outside part, but inside the brain. And
and being diagnosed with all that.
It was just a miracle. And then the pathologist goes, well, it's a fatty tumor. And the guy goes, no, I can't. This is class 4. So they brought in another pathologist. And then they brought in a third pathologist. And they all were amazed that this level 4 tumor that they thought was life-threatening, going to kill her, was actually a fatty tumor that was disguised as cancer.
Isn't
but you know
something?
What? It probably really was cancer to begin with. It had metamorphosized from that Monday when prayers went out to Friday. And God's hands are on her. Now she's talking. Now she's walking. She's going up steps. And this all happened with his hands. So I'm so thankful to everybody. 2009 is coming in with a bang. Because God has given my family a new perspective on life in a lot of ways.
Isn't that something? God is so good. You want to also, our aunt, is she travels to Israel is one reason that we know that we got prayers from Israel, right?
Oh, yes. Aunt Rusty.
She does prophecy conferences in Israel and, you know, just all over the world. You want to tell Aunt Rusty and...
Oh, especially Aunt Rusty and her church. Uncle
mm-hmm.
David called to check up on things. Just give us a report. Our prayer committee, we're praying hard. Our prayer warriors have them on there. We're not taking her off. We want to know every day what
we're praying
for.
You give them one person an email, and then it just shoots off to everybody in the whole
world. It did. And Rusty was in Israel, and she was able to send messages when she could. And I know that when she was there every day sharing her knowledge and her word with others, walking the path that God has provided for her, that every day when she took those steps, she kept Mama and everyone, not just my mom, but I know she made a special heart prayer for her, and I thank my Aunt Rusty, especially David, and I know Aunt Shirley, she told her family, and I know she told her church too. And that church is...
Well, there's 14 of them. You know, and then the radio station, and then the emails just started shooting out, and then the prayer group. It's amazing what the prayer warriors can do. You know, if everybody would just have a little bit of faith and believe in that prayer, and it's just amazing what, you know, the Lord can do and the healings that can happen with the amazing grace. Just brushed by death and just lifted right back up.
It's God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that God is reconnecting everyone. I think we've all been disconnected, honestly, Kathy. Wallowing in our own misery, maybe, or celebrating our own successes, if we have become disconnected among faith. we may have had a relationship with God, but God doesn't want it just to be that way. God wants us to have a relationship with everyone. And
exactly, and it's like it's like that I was saying on the radio station one day. It's like a balancing of a seesaw. You know, you got to keep your balance, and you got to just keep your levels, and you got to just make sure that you stay in tune totally in your heart. And people ask a lot of times, how do you listen with your heart and not your mind? Because I say the mind is man-made of all the people, places, and things along the way. And it's tuning in to the garden of your heart, which is as you evolve more and more with Christ-centeredness, you will just know. It will become like the knowing of knowing things. And the more and more and more we evolve, the more Christ-centered we get with the Lord every day. But it's just that little seed of faith that you plant in your garden. And it just grows like that of a mustard seed. And it'll move those mountains.
And it does. And I totally agree. I totally agree. And I'm so thankful that I'm seeing an experience in it. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm proud to pray for others because I know that's God's will. Even people I don't know.
I'm honored to pray for others as well. It humbles me. Sometimes I have to learn to pray for myself, and I find when I'm praying my prayers, I need to focus on myself some, but I find myself shifting to others, you know, and then going to this person, but I know I need to put my energy into myself first so that I can get my healings for myself so that I can center more on the prayers that I need to center on the other people. If that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. It most certainly does.
So I like to start off with, you know, prayer is actively listening, talking to God, to where meditation is listening to God, to me. And so I like to do my meditations and center myself first and just say, I've always said Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. You know, you can say whatever you need to say, but just to quiet the mind. And that's how I got centered, you know, to learn to say my meditations. You can say the light, or just one word, Jesus, 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 or just God, 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 or, you know, whatever word that comes to mind that calms you down. But, Carmen, I want to thank you so much for sharing that story with us. And do you want to take any call-ins on any information of that, or would you like to start with something else that we were going to cover? Because I know that you're going to do the Heart Association for this North Carolina as well. South Carolina, excuse me. I'm in North Carolina.
Yeah. I always welcome any caller who'd like to call and talk about prayer. And to share their stories, and if they want to be put on a prayer list, tell us. We'll lift them high. As well as I'd like to thank the lady, oh gosh, I wish I had my email open, the lady who helped save your life, Kathy.
Oh, Kimberly, Medicine Walker. She saved my life on New Year's Eve, eve of New Year's Eve. Yes, she did. I had carbon monoxide poisoning, and I couldn't even do the radio show. And I was, almost died. Yes, I did. I wasn't even going to say anything, but thank you, Carmen.
No, I want to tell her thank you and want her to know that I have lifted her up in prayer every day because I know that God has a special purpose for her. And just every step that she takes, I know that she takes a walk of faith.
She does.
I think a lot of people think that they're like, well, where is God? Where is he? I don't see him. Where is he? He's right here with us. And I like your thing about meditation. Yeah, praying is speaking to God, but meditation is listening to him. And I think that may be I'm going to make that my New Year's resolution, Kathy. I need to meditate
good.
So I can listen to God.
Exactly.
What a wonderful way to start the year. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I love you, girl.
But I would like to talk about the American Heart Association.
Okay.
If this is a good time.
Yes, it's perfect.
Okay.
This is you go for it, girl. I'm just here to talk.
Okay. Well, the American Heart Association has been very significant in our family. I don't know if Kathy has mentioned it in many other shows, but going all
the way... I started when I was in the ninth grade with the Heart Association. That's my first paycheck ever.
Well, it has saved many of our family's lives with its research, with its valuable growth in technology, with the heart and medication and surgeries and studies.
Carmen and I had the same, I'm going to interrupt you. Carmen and I had the same heart problems where we both had our heart e-blazed. Mine was awake 28 times last year. And Carmen, I don't know if you were awake. Yeah, you told me you were awake.
I was awake. Oh, that was scary.
You died on yours, though, and came back to life. Okay, excuse me.
Okay, well, Kathy and I do. Not only are we genetically cousins, I think we're very genetically alike in a lot of ways. And one of them is our heart, as well as our cousin Kathy and Michael. And my father died of a heart attack, our grandfather.
And my father had triple bypass. And...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just runs rampant. And the American Heart Association.
My burden of the arteries. But she's going to get out of that. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
But the American Heart Association has been very significant in providing the research, medications, surgeries of all kinds to help promote a healthy community. Of course, our family benefited, as well as everybody else who's benefited in one way or another.
Oh, and Janet. Oh, my gosh.
Yep, we can't forget Janet. Janet was the very first poster child for the American Heart Association.
That's our cousin. She had a hole in her heart when she was born.
Yep. They did case studies over her, and our Aunt Jenny has done the heart balls and has been a big supporter of the American Heart Association, number one because her true love, Janet, was one of the first ones to have a particular surgery that had just become known. I was one of the first ones to have the electrical heart ablation in Charlotte. The machines had just
arrived. And I saw it right at the girlfriend.
I mean,
I've had it twice.
And, I really do support them, and I really am trying to help with the Go Red campaign. I have been asked to go to casting call because they're going to do, the American Heart Association is going to do a new set of studies and researches and PR to get information out to women about how a heart attack you see on TV is not how a heart attack really is for women. And to promote the fact that we need to get checked up. We need to stop internalizing all this stress. That's literally killing us and just damaging our heart. I would be very proud if the American Heart Association did choose me, and they're asking Mom also to go with this casting call.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. Mom and I are both going because I see heart disease in a different light than I did prior to October. I was a victim of genetic heart problems. And I had to go through the surgery, and I had to go get back in shape, and I had to recondition my eating and recondition my exercise to make a healthy life and make healthy choices so I can be here for my children. But now I'm the caregiver of the person. I have no idea what my mom went through watching taking care of me as my heart was healing. Or as a young child, when I go, and my mom and dad would take me to the ER because there wasn't enough research going, oh, there's nothing wrong with her. She's a healthy kid. It must be hormones.
That happened to your daughter as well.
Yes, that happened to Kelly back in April. But now there's been enough research that they know what was going on. But how many times I went to the emergency room and cardiac arrest that they just sent me out and didn't even do a test or anything because I was a female and because I appeared healthy. I'm very fortunate.
We can't forget Michael either, our cousin.
Yeah, Michael had the surgery, I think, what, about, because I had it first, you were second, and I think Michael was, what, a year after you, or maybe a month?
And then Jennifer just got the Holter monitor off, my niece, and she's got it, and Jason, my son's got it as well. We've got it's a natural pacemaker in our hearts, and it's the electrical pulse. Maybe we've got so much energy, I don't know. But anyway, the natural pulses just energize and electrical, and they misfire, and my heart rate goes up to 220 beats a minute, and then shoots down to 60 beats a minute. and the blood pressure drops really rapidly. And so they went in and tried to fix that, but it didn't really work.
Well, I'll pray that they find the right thing for Jennifer.
Yeah.
And she's so beautiful, too. Oh,
no,
God, she's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah, she's a model. She's been to New York, and that's my brother's daughter, and she does modeling for New York, and she does Biltmore House. She's done that for Biltmore House. I put those on my Facebook before. And she's just a wonderful girl, lady. She's in her 30s, but she's redoing my house for me because I don't want to.
Well, Jennifer has definite style, so I would be somebody I would choose too.
Yeah. She's a sweetheart. All my nieces and nephews are, you know, and Meredith just got married, and I just want to bless her and congratulate her on her new marriage. And anyway, Carmen is a teacher. She's been a teacher for 21 years, and she's a PE teacher of all things. Carmen, I want to ask you a couple of questions about what do you feel is the difference in the world today with teaching the children 21 years ago?
Teaching in general?
The students. The difference.
Yeah. Okay.
What is the difference in the path that you have to follow compared to the path that you followed 21 years ago as a teacher?
And this is going to sound really odd compared to what you hear most people say.
Okay.
When I first started teaching, first of all, I know that it was tough because I was a young teacher, and I know that with experience, different things do get easier as a teacher. But the one thing I'd have to say, when I first started teaching, if there was discipline issues, administration expects you to take care of it and only go to them when it's difficult. Of course, it's basically still true to this day. You need to go through your own process of how best to modify it. I had a student, I can't call him a child, who decided to take his clothes off and go streaking while I was doing archery in front of the targets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, okay. And this was a typical day teaching 21 years ago. And I'd go call the principal. Well, his parents don't care. And I'd call the parents. Parents, they didn't even return a phone call, as long as he wasn't dead. The parents were disattached, didn't pay. They're at school. They're your problem. That's basically how it was.
Oh, goodness.
And the kids knew that that was the answer they were going to get. So they had a very disrespect for teachers, a disrespect for their education, devalued it. And I saw that they actually devalued themselves.
Are they still like that today?
No. And I'm seeing it getting better and better and better. And now I have to say parents are so, so thirsty for their children.
So those are like my children's age. Well, no, not really, because Matthew is, what, 26?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, I'm teaching children. I actually, about 5 years ago, I was teaching children of children. I've taught.
Isn't that something?
That's wild. In the carpool line, hi, Miss Clemens, I remember you when I had PE. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
You taught at my children's school while they were there, didn't you?
No, I was not at their school.
Or were you there right after? You were there with the assistant principal of my children's school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was about... I think
Carmen helped raise my children, y'all, BBS radio listeners, and I couldn't have done it without her because I had 3 and 3.5 years, and I tell you what, I was an active mother. They were into everything.
Oh, they were.
They were into All-Stars and the World Series and gymnastics and you name it. My children were in it, and Carmen was right there by my side. She's 10 years younger than I am, so she was the greatest sitter that I call it. I don't call her a sitter. I call her my right-hand person. But I wanted to ask you as well, what teaching methods do you have the concepts of changing since then with PE as health-wise?
Well, to piggyback off a little bit more off that first question, too,
oh, okay. I thought you would.
No, well, because the press has gone over, these kids are obese, they're fat, they're out of shape, our children are dying, and the parents are like, whoa, okay, you're right. We got to step up the plate. So as a PE teacher, I have found that communicating with the parents, things to make the children's lives healthy and easier and providing more opportunities that are free. First of all, I don't think being in shape and being healthy, it should be a free right. If you give a free right to bear arms, can't you have a free right to provide people with the potential of being healthy?
You mean it's not?
You have freedom of speech. You should have freedom of movement.
It's not in the school.
Well, it's not in every school. As a matter of fact, with the budget cuts, my school system has lost 10 minutes of time. Some school systems are making more aggressive moves to cut PE to make budgets than that. One thing I have seen is if you tell a parent, your child is overweight, your child is in danger of being sick, they get on the stick. They're like, I don't want my child to die. What do we do? And I'm seeing them more involved in their child's life. Because they know that being physically active is the first step, but you got to educate them on nutrition, and in order to do that, you got to teach them to read.
Girl, I'm going out tomorrow and start walking good. Oh my gosh! Okay, I'll be more active.
And as the children, they love it. I see now teaching. I am providing information in an entertainment. I'm becoming an entertainer.
Oh, yeah, you took me out and entertained me right after my dad died.
We did paint the town red, or black and blue and yellow and pink.
I know.
And Carol, she's a hoot. She's a
Carol
hoot.
Is so great. Oh, I love her so. Anyway, you are an entertainer, and I tell you what, you've taught me a lot throughout my lifetime of knowing you. And your dad, I tell you, God love him, God rest his soul. He was one of my, the Duke, we called him the Duke. Mm-hmm. Even though he wasn't, his name wasn't the Duke. Oh. And Carmen, I just, do you remember the question I asked? Because I'm just getting off on my family matters, and it doesn't matter to the other people about that.
it was about the health and education.
Know about the difference in the teaching.
Well, that is the
but is it, if it's the same, you know, how you get a synopsis at the beginning of the year that you follow.
Well, the one thing I have to say that I've learned as a teacher is you got to make every child, you got to make a point to let every single child, and I teach 868 right now.
I used to come and watch you teach, remember?
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you're the one that got me into teaching, starting with tumble tots.
Oh, yeah, my little tumble tots, I forgot about that club that I made, finding gross motor skills for children's gymnastics and exercise.
Mm-hmm. You started it?
My children were scared to go to preschool, and so I went and taught, opened a club called the Tumble Club and Tumble Tots, and taught 18 months to sixth grade. That's right. I did that for a long time. That's when my legs gave out.
Well, inviting me to help you gave me that passion. I actually saw those kids when they came in, but when they left happy, and they left wanting to move their bodies more, and they left wanting to challenge themselves, and they felt non-threatened to do it. You gave them the tools.
Yeah. Those ones at the club, the spa, whatever you call it, where we went and worked out, were the ones that were the hardest. Carmen, I've got so many pictures of those, but defining gross motor skills are so important, and I want to touch base on ADHD because you know how ADHD I am. I'm an adult ADHD, and you know Matthew had went to Door Academy that only had 68 students there. But he graduated in a regular school. How do you know, or do you know, if the student is severely ADHD, if they need special education? Do they have that in the schools today, or do they just push them off to the sidelines?
No. Children, if they're in a good education system where they have a good principal who sets the tone for the school, every child's need is going to be met. Now, I'd have to say, be honestly, if a child's needs aren't being met, sometimes it's not the school, it's the parents refusing the help or they're refusing the testing, so we can't move further along with it. That's been the one thing I've seen is a lot of parents say, well, I don't want my child labeled. And to be honest, yeah, kids are cruel, but that's not the thing they're cruel about. Yeah, if you need special needs and stuff, and it's done in such a tasteful way now, we've learned so much since when I first started teaching. Hey, you just pull them out, and you call them, okay, these are ADHD kids. You know, we don't do that anymore. A lot of times it's included. The teacher comes inside the classroom while the teacher's teaching and just helps those few.
Isn't that wonderful?
I mean, it has really grown.
Matthew blossomed so big when he went and got to play football, when he went and got to play football. No, I'm Carmen, I'm just kidding. When he went to play football, he changed into a different child when he got to be in intermingling with all those students.
Mm-hmm.
And he graduated with high grades. But it took that special one-on-one to be able to help him do that. So they do have teachers that come in. I don't know about the school systems anymore.
Oh, yes, they do. And I have to say, I hear a lot of times, well, we don't have good teachers. I think we have excellent teachers. And I think that teachers may be short of some tools they need to be totally effective. But there isn't a teacher I know that doesn't go out there and go 100%. And if they are a weak teacher, honey, believe me, we're going to get rid of those weak people. Your children's lives, our future, you know, these people are going to be taking care of us, Kathy.
But you're running for president.
Yes, ma'am. In 2012, I would like to throw my hat in and run for president of the United States. I do believe that the United States now needs someone who has experienced life, really experienced.
This isn't a joke.
No, this is not a joke.
This is for real. So remember, Carmen Clemens, watch her grow.
Yes, I do want to run for president in 2012, and I'm doing it on the platform that I am a USA American citizen, and I have lived this life, and I'm here to help to bring about change. I do not have all the answers, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right now. But you know what? I know how to find the right people who do know the answers.
And that's the key.
And not only that, we need to have people who have experience going to a hospital and not having insurance. We need to have some, I mean, we have really grave problems. We need to know somebody. I have gone to the food bank. I have seen people there. We have charity begins at home. And we need to take care of ourselves. And I do believe as a community we can do it. But saying, oh, well, so-and-so is going to do it, maybe later, that's going to end. We all have to be an active part of our problem, of our solution. And I don't see us as a I can't or how bad we are. I hear it as how can we achieve.
Exactly.
How can we achieve this?
Thank goodness.
And we can achieve it together.
Because everybody, remember when I called you earlier and I said, and I was in that little stricken mood because I had several phone calls of some people reading some certain things, and it was like there, and you said it was a dilemma of the new year coming in, but I'm going to just say that people get so freaked out and look at the fearful parts instead of what they can do about the situation within themselves and get in the right situation, like you said, the right people. And they look at the negative and they push the negative down people's throats. And if you keep feeding that negative's going to come back up and bite your butt. You feed the positive's going to come back up and bite your butt. You know, so whatever you feed is going to get back what you know. It's like, all right, already. We already know already what's already happened. Now what are we going to do about it? You know, and I feel like the whole world is just shifting inside out, like just shaking it out and just getting a new air about it. And it's people like you that and the people that you know and, you know, our family and prayer and things like that, that is, Carmen, it's prayer.
It all starts there.
It's belief and knowing, because it goes from hope to faith to belief to the knowing. And when you know something, you know it. And I know for a fact that I am going to heaven, and I know for a fact where I'm going, and I will not falter, but I do know that I have learned from many different relations in the world, and I have learned plenty indeed from the Native Americans. I've learned plenty indeed from the shamanism ways. I've studied with them, and their ways are good and great, and I would not trade it for anything in this world because I use their ways. I use the natural ways of the earth as well with my prayers, but it's always to the Lord. You know, it's, and people call it the Creator or whatever they want to call it, but it is, to me, the Lord. And I just wanted to say that and clarify that for all my BBS listeners. You can choose whomever you want to pray to, whatever you want to pray to, but it's one source, and that's just my feelings on it.
Well, to all the listeners out there, I'm going to give you a lesson my daddy told me. I know Kathy will share with you. I had a stubborn streak. It is a Nordman pride issue. But my daddy woke me up one day. He did. And sometimes when my kids woke up, I thought, oh, dear Lord, I just need to beat them, just get it started for the day and just get it over with, because they were going to be bad and they were going to try me. And it was, but, you know, it just came down. But one day my dad woke me up and he put me in front of that mirror. He goes, you see that mirror? He goes, God's given you this day. Now you have three choices. You can do nothing and just leave it the way you found it this morning when you woke up. Or you can do something to make this place worse. Maybe you decide you're going to litter. But you know what? You have a choice. He says, or you can make a choice to make this world a better place every day you wake up. And that meant a lot to me, what my dad taught me. Every day we have an opportunity to make this world a better place. There is no reason why the United States of America cannot be the number one country and be a country of compassion and leadership and development that can spread hope and joy to all other countries. But like I said, it's got to start at home. We got to look in that mirror and say, today, what am I going to do to make this world a better place?
You know, my dad always said to me, you just don't listen, but, because I had this, my mother, they could get me to the hospital because I wouldn't budge. And she said, I kept saying, I'm going to beat this thing. When I had the carbon monoxide poisoning for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to be this. Yeah, I was like that. And Daddy would say, you just don't listen, but. And that's what got me to listening, you know. And to me, say the negative Satan, or whatever you want to call it, the devil, whatever, he cannot see, but he sure can hear. And so if you just actively listen and know what's going on, then you'll know what that old negativity's going, because it's the mouth. It's people's mouth. It's people's, the forked tongue that speaks out the hardships and the word of the negativity, but it's also the word of mouth that speaks out the good and the glory. And that's just another thing, and so that's how I learned to listen.
And listening is a skill. And Girls on the Run, which is a program that was developed and designed in Charlotte, North Carolina by Molly Baker. We have it here where I'm at in Irmo, South Carolina, and Chapin. And one of the lessons we teach the girls is how to listen. And you mentioned meditating.
Actively listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's listening, and then there's actively listening. But that's putting it into play, what you hear.
But, and with active listening, I just want to go on one thing else that I have seen, that I see evolve, and you were talking about this being a period of change. I see political correctness going out the door. And that, I'm seeing it in the schools, and I'm seeing it with the parents, I'm seeing it with the children. I'm not saying people are being mean. That's not it. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, if something is tall, it's tall. If something's short, it's short. I'm not going to say it's height challenged. Okay? You're calling it what it is. You know, it's okay to be white. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be Indian. It's okay. I don't need to say Native American. political correctness, I see, is going to go out the door. And I think that's where we need to go back. I think people are still being respectful and kind and polite. But it's time. It's time. We were so politically correct, we lost the focus of what the words were, like you were just saying. We put words out there just to pollute the air.
It's culture.
Yeah, culture.
And it's the society of culture. But, you know, it's just like, I say the Native Americans, Carmen, because they had a culture that taught me a certain way. But I know you're using that as just a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to clarify that I have learned so much from them that I am just honored at what I have learned from them.
Oh, well, you know, I am Native American Indian from mom's side. I'm
right.
An Indian. And, you know, I have a chief and I have an Indian name. I'm Running Rabbit. And I'm not, what I'm saying is, being Native American or being Indian, it doesn't matter. I'm still who I am. You know,
right.
It's like Shakespeare's era.
All precious in his sight.
Oh, we're all precious. And a rose is still a rose, no matter what you call it. It still smells the same.
Exactly. But sometimes, Carmen, we have to name the things so that we can have a specific qualification for what we have learned. And, you know, sometimes, but when it comes to people are all the creatures, great and small. And that's a
true.
Perfectly great point that you just made.
You know, it used to be when I first started teaching, well, how many white students do you have? How many black students do you have? How many free and reduced lunch students do you have? Everybody was categorized by something.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Literally, every class, you got to, well, we...
statistic.
We have to make every class significantly mixtured of such and such percentages to get this grant and this grant. If you were to ask me that question, at the beginning of the broadcast, I said I have 863 students. I couldn't tell you how many are white. Couldn't tell you how many are black. Couldn't tell you how many are boys or how many are girls. That's insignificant. They are all students. They're all there to learn. They're all there to grow. And as teachers, we're all there to nurture them and provide them the roads and the tools for them to reach their future success. I don't have a demographic society that I teach. I have students who all have a future that are there to learn. And there's what I'm saying about this political correctness. We're going from it has to be this little formula and da 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 to, you know what, let's teach our child.
Exactly. That's what makes the world go round.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody would grab hands and just hold on and teach what they've learned by actively listening. With meditation is listening to God. Prayer is talking to God. We've got about maybe 8 minutes left, Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you would like to talk about before we close the show? Because I want this to be something that is remembered very, very well by the active listeners of www.bbsradio.com. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, and you're listening to Carmen Plemons as my guest host tonight, and I'm just honored to have her here. And, Carmen, I just want this to be a memorable New Year's that we bring in it with good and positiveness, and I'm just in awe at all that I've learned and transpired in this past little bit of time that I've talked to you, because we usually just talk online. And we haven't talked in quite a while.
It's nice to hear a voice. And that is something I would encourage all the BBS listeners to do. Thank you for listening to a voice. Because you can type something down on a IM, and I'm not saying anything negative about IMs or emails, but you lose something when you don't hear the words being said. Does that make sense? And you become a little detached. Listening to a voice is realizing, okay, I understand those words, and I understand that person really cares, or I can write, have a nice day. Or I can say, I want you to have a happy, great day.
That's why I get out here and do this every week, Carmen. Because I want to make a difference so much with what I do for everybody and give everybody a chance to come online, call in, give their voice, give their opinions, give their feelings, when the call-ins come, you know, instead of everybody just wanting a reading. That's mainly when the call-ins come, you know, when I have somebody that's giving a reading. Instead of calling in for prayer requests or calling in for, I don't know, I just pray that it just changes, you know, for a lot of people, that they just reach out and ask for things that they need instead of what they other people see that they need for themselves, that they ask what they need for themselves.
I think this is wonderful, and I'm sure there's somebody in their home, and maybe somebody whose family has moved away, and they're by themselves. And they probably keep in touch with their family online like we do. And matter of fact, Jen and I were just talking. I know more about my family from Facebook than I have in the past 3 years.
Is that fun?
And, you know, and I'm enjoying it. But you know what Jen and I said? Wouldn't it be nice just so I could say I've heard Meredith's voice?
And I saw Kim was in town, and she just went back to Germany, our other cousin. We have 167 cousins, you know. It's kind of hard to keep up with all of them.
No, we're at 202.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh, we're at 202.
Oh, and Natalie's having a baby. Oh, and Carrie's having a baby. And who else?
Carrie.
And that's only on one side. I'm not counting my hillside.
No, I'm not counting my hillside either. And by the way, different hills.
Both hills. We're both hills on our other side of the family.
Isn't that odd?
That is so strange.
And
how did that happen?
You know, until we just said that, I've known that my whole life.
I know.
I've never said those
words.
That's
your mother's name, and that's my dad's name.
Mm-hmm. That is odd. I guess we're just two peas in a pod, Kathy.
Yeah, 10 years difference. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
thank you so much for having me in with your listeners, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to say thank you to them.
Thank you.
Thank you for the gift you have given me of having my mom and my Aunt Marie for another year, and hopefully for many more. And thank you for lifting me so that I
Well, Donald at BBS Radio is the one that I sent the prayer request to. So he's the one that you heard that called you at your house. So you can give special thanks to Don at BBS Radio. And Seth at BBS Radio, I gave him a little email. And then Don's twin brother, Doug. So they're the BBS Radioers that own the station. But Don especially, because he keeps in close contact with what's going on.
Well, Kathy,
but all the BBS Radio listeners, we want to thank you so much for allowing us in your home, as Carmen said. And we're out of time. So this is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook and Carmen Plemons, giving you a great send-off for the new year of 2009. Thank you so much, Carmen, and many blessings to you and your family, and many prosperities as well.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year, BBS Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.